From the heart of New York City.
He is the human suplex machine.
This is the Taz Show.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking wrestling, sports, and beyond.
It's the Black Tower Maniac coming out of Brooklyn. A one-man crime spree. He gonna leave you shook. Try to beat him if you can and survive if he lets you. Human suplex and he coming for you too. Better watch out. The guy your mother warned you about. And he's got one question I'll inform you about. Like,
you're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
Award-winning host and former world heavyweight champion, Taz.
All right. Tuesday edition. Tuesday edition of the Taz Show. What's going on, guys? What's going on today, tonight, this morning, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever suits your fancy, you have no fear because the Taz Show's here Monday through Friday, every day, sometimes, depending on vacations and personal days, Friday, and Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern. United States time, that is. What's going on? This is the Taz Show. We got a lot to cover in the show. It's going to be a fun show. There's definitely, how do I put this? Well, Raw, obviously. So there's going to be a good chunk of Raw talk here. I have different feelings and thoughts on what happened on Raw and the new Monday Night Raw from the logo on. And I know a lot of you guys have thoughts and opinions on it also. So if you would like to get a hold of me here live and contact the show, you may do that.
Attention hotline fans.
866-475-2948. 866-475-2948. Yeah, the phone lines are flaring like a pack of hemorrhoids already, as usual. So I know we have some news, different stuff going on. Nothing vital. I know we got PW Insider Report, as usual, with the Mike Johnson. Yes, he will be on this episode. Yes, the Mike Johnson's back. He was on vacation last week, as was the Taz Show, as was the Captain.
We all went fishing together, right?
You guys apparently went fishing. Handsome Johnny, all you guys. Handsome Johnny's still not back, by the way, for those that are wondering. He's disappeared.
You think people are wondering?
No, I don't think anyone gives a rat's ass, but Handsome Johnny is still not here. Jasmine's here. She's handling the. She's our incoming call concierge.
Jasmine looked a little sad today.
She's a little down in the dumps. Yeah, I noticed that yesterday too. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's a little bit of a. She's just sad, Jasmine. Yeah. Well, because you know what it is. It's because either she's concerned for the handsome Johnny, or she just misses him, or she's trying to have that disconnect, absence, anxiety. You know what that is? What I mean by that is she's going to leave the show soon to go back to the college and learn to be smarter than me and the Captain. And so she's leaving the show because she's just an intern, the poor girl. And so she's going to leave. So I think she's trying to create some separation between Video Brian, yourself, me, and she's got the absence disordered anxiety.
You're saying she doesn't want to leave.
Gimmick schnabitz. No, she's trying to create like a wall of emotions to block her happiness and joy and jocularity from being around us. So she's trying to create this thick wall to keep away so when she's back on the West Coast, she don't have to cry every day. I miss Taz in the show. Oh, I don't want to go to class. I don't want to go to psych. I was like in this psycho. I love the Taz Show.
Hey, do you know Taz, by the way?
Poor girl. So, Jasmine, you know, we understand you don't want to talk to us no more. And you also miss the handsome Johnny because he's your friend. They used to run amok around here. They'd run around, make fun of people, pick on people, bully people.
They're running around with sparklers last week.
Sparklers.
Or the week before, excuse me.
Yeah, they're videoing everybody, Facebook live and everyone. Freaks. So, anyway, that handles that. So we got, like I said, a lot of folks are calling the show want to talk about, you know, they want to talk about Raw. And I got to tell you, we got to just, before we get into it, actually, later on, we'll do our third off the hook. We haven't done that yet. Okay, what grinds your gears? What pisses you off? We will hit that later on here on the show. So you guys can call in with those also. But I think Monday Night Raw is the thing that would be the hot topic right now. And I think that's what folks want to talk about. So, you know, there were a lot of things that happened on the show last night. First off, I want to say I thought it was an excellent show. I really enjoyed the show. I like a lot of the new elements. I like the new logo. I think that's cool. I like when something changes and we don't ignore it. We change everything from the music to the logo, the font. They didn't change their colors, which was smart also. I said it on yesterday's show. Some people can knock the WWE creative, booking and all this jazz. But the one thing you're not going to knock is the way they brand. They have been ahead of everyone in the industry for many, many years. So they are continuing with that success. I've learned a lot of that myself working there under guys like Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn. They are geniuses with that. And they have all the resources now over the years that they've built and earned to utilize their resources to keep building on their branding. So that's something a lot of people don't give WWE credit for. I think it's just a foregone conclusion. The way they look and their style and all this jazz and their branding abilities, but it needs to be talked about more because they deserve a lot of credit for it. Because they don't have to do that. They're the lead dog. No one's even near them in the industry. And you know what? They're not showing complacency in their production, and they're not showing complacency, obviously, with their network. They're not showing complacency with their branding and who they are as a company image and a public image. I think they have shown some complacency with the booking. I have. Now, yesterday, I actually enjoyed a good chunk of the booking. I definitely did. A couple of things that jumped out. Like, the one thing that jumped out to me, a lot of people were tweeting me before Raw went live, because I guess some folks that were in the building that were there live in Pittsburgh, the announce desk was moved to the stage as opposed to being ringside. So, you know, we've seen this before, and, you know, some people are like, what are your thoughts on this and all that? You know, I have a live show I do every day, so I appreciate you guys asking me questions on Twitter. I mean, I've said it before, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but my Twitter is not a Q&A. If you want a Q&A, 866-475-2948 every day. So there's every day except when I have a personal day or a plethora of vacations, because those happen Friday. So, Friday, what? What the Friday? So, the announce desk away from the ring. Now, some people like this over time, over the years we've seen this. Some people hate it. I don't remember if it was during the split when I was there at WWE, when they put the Raw desk up by the stage. Do you remember that? Or
that was a while back, I think.
And I think us on SmackDown stayed ringside. I could be wrong on that, guys. It's just a lot of stuff I've done over the years in WWE or other companies, so it's hard to remember it all. I can tell you this much. I remember when they did move the desk, it was partially, they kind of thought they were just being funny, kind of ribbing JR. Because JR loved the fact of being ringside as an announcer, and there's a good reason for that. Because JR's right. That's where wrestling announcers do belong. Ringside. And as an announcer, I can tell you from experience, it's a better feel when you're ringside to really feel the action, hear the bumps. Sometimes sweat hits you as you're at the desk when a guy takes a bump or he's fighting in front of the desk or something like that. It gets extremely real, okay? And you feel it. Even if you were never in the ring as a competitor like Jim Ross or Mike Tenay, or Michael Cole, or Joey Styles.
Oh, my God!
I mean, even if you were not an in-ring competitor, those guys would still feel that physicality. You know, and that's a big part of being the announce desk being ringside. So I think that's why JR was upset a few years ago. And it wasn't like he was going crazy, but I do know that part of their little bully joking games that Vince pulls and these guys is, let's try to rip people. They love doing that because it's just, they have the power. You know, they like to play games behind the scenes. They really do. And some of the stuff you see on air is just inside baseball stuff that's them just being smartasses, you know? I'm not kidding. Like, it happens all the time.
I was going to ask, as an in-ring performer, would you rather have that extra space without the announce tables there?
It doesn't matter. It kind of, I'll be honest, good question. But it doesn't matter because when you're a wrestler, okay, you are when you're a pro to that level, you're used to working in any environment. It doesn't matter how big or small the building is, how small the ring is. If it's a 20 by 20 ring, 16 by 16 ring, sure, you'd like a little bit bigger ring. The area around the ring, all that stuff kind of, yeah, it's really not that important because you work and you conform to any environment. So I don't think it's so much, it's a good question. For the wrestlers, unless it's some guys who do a lot of flip dives and stuff like that, yeah, maybe. If you guys noticed, we saw several of them last night, a lot of these flip dives over the top rope are done towards the ramp side. It's just because there's more room. That's all it is. And it's more of a, there's less risk of a fan getting hit. Next thing you know, you have a lawsuit. So that's one of the main reasons. It's just more safety for the guys, you know, when they're taking the bump and catching someone. That's why you see a lot of that by the ramp. It's more of a safety thing. And the hard camera can catch the profile, or profile, as some say, of that dive. Profile. So, at the announce desk, so here's my thing. I wanted to just kind of talk about that a little bit, about how, for someone like a legend, the Hall of Famer JR, how he felt back in the day, and why I did agree with him. And that it did upset him a little bit, but he obviously, you know, conformed to it with no problem. Now, when I was at TNA, you know, we, in the Universal Studios, Mike Tenay and I, for so long, our announce desk was on the stage that they built at Universal, where we did our TVs. And we were not ringside. And I got to be honest, I loved it. Even though I'm not right next to the ring, you're kind of away from it, and that's partially good. Because you don't have to worry about guys coming over by the desk or, you know, and taking a bump or ripping stuff off the table. Because like I've said before on the Taz show here, okay, a good chunk of that stuff that happens, you know, is kayfabe to the announcers. They don't know when guys are going to come over to that desk unless it's going to be something hellaciously huge. Because the company, like Vince McMahon, for example, you know, him and Kevin Dunn, they're big into catching the announcers off guard and get their organic reaction as opposed to a contrived thing where we know the guys are going to come up by the desk. Okay, now we're expecting our announcers to even act even more, and they're not actors. And I kind of agree with that. When I was in the middle of it and they would surprise us with stuff, it pissed me off. I felt like, well, what are you kayfaving me here for? You know, this is a work. We're all working together here. Why? But then, you know, after talking with Vince over time, he's like, I only do that because I want to catch the reaction of you guys. And then it clicked when he said that to me, and I understood it after that. You know, like if someone was going to come and get physical, or, all right, we want this guy to come over and, you know, whatever, throw a punch at you, Taz, or something like that, you duck, hit him, then he drops you. I mean, what hypothetically bad example. That's something they're not going to kayfabe you on. But the other stuff, a lot of it, you don't know about. And I'm betting dolls of donuts these guys now don't know. And it was similar to TNA. But when your desk is away from the ring, for a concentration perspective, and your notes, your show prep, all that kind of stuff that you've worked on all day, you're kind of in your own world. You stay there. You call the action. And I liked it kind of better, to be honest. Maybe because I spent so many years in the ring as a competitor. That could be. But for me, I was fine with not being right next to the ring. You know, I really was. I would think most play-by-play guys want to be right next to the ring, though. The play-by-play guys more than the wrestlers. The ex-wrestlers, the commentators. That's just my opinion. I liked being away from it. So I would bet the farm. I need to buy a farm. Just so when I do bet it, I actually have a farm. Need to have a farm. I think I need the gimmick farm.
Something else to build.
Gimmick clubhouse. Yeah, this is another building project. I mean, I'm hiring contractors left and right. Yeah, I would bet the farm tonight that the SmackDown announce desk will be ringside because it's going to be different than Raw. See, it's going to be different than Raw. So the announce desk will be ringside, not on the stage, just to be different than Raw. Because they need to have some kind of a distinct difference in the shows. Because, see, here's the problem here, guys. Here's the only problem. And I know a lot of you guys are on hold. Please bear with me. I'll get to you. But this is that moment.
Boy. boys and girls, it's time to gather around the learning tree with your kind and caring teacher, Taz.
He's so mean all the time.
He's always so angry.
He yells at everyone.
What? He's sharing his one-of-a-kind insider perspective of professional wrestling from inside the ring to broadcasting major events.
It's all about me. It's me.
Me.
Be on your best behavior and make sure to ask lots of questions.
Stop it. Shut up. Everybody just shut up.
It's the learning tree with Taz.
Where's the shorter one? It's so friggin' long.
Do you want the shorter one?
Don't play it now.
Okay.
We do have the shorter one, right?
Yes, I have it.
I need it in a gimmick for him, a giant gimmick. You know what I mean? Talk to the crying Brian. You know what I mean? You understood what I just said, too.
Yes,
I know you
did.
That's the best part. You actually understood what I just said. So anyway, here's the deal. The LT moment for you, right? So here's the problem. Raw and SmackDown, it needs to look different than each other, obviously, right? For the most part. So you do little subtle things, obviously the colors, you know, the blue and the red, we got that. And I think that, again, that goes back to branding, and that's smart. The names of the brands, obviously. Stephanie and Shane run the two different ones, two different GMs, got it. All that stuff creates a little separation, I think it's good. Announced teams, separate. Got it, perfect, works. Now, the look of the show. Here's the problem. You can move announce desk, you can have different color ropes, you could do all that stuff, have different talent on two different brands, but here's the problem. It's being shot the same way. It's the same production truck. It's the same director. It's the same producer, executive producer. It's shot the same. It's production-wise handled the same. And I'm not saying that's a problem, but NXT is not. NXT shot by someone different, directed by someone. It's a whole different feel. I know the names of the people. I'm not going to just throw out names of people that are not on air performers, so I will not do that. But that's the thing that, see, no one realizes. Like, you know, it's being production-wise handled by the same crew, same cameraman, same everything, because they're going to save money, WWE. And there's a couple of really smart things going back-to-back days, Monday, Tuesday. Because now Raw's so fresh in our minds, and as fans, it's awesome. I'm excited tonight to watch SmackDown Live. I really am. I think it's as great. I think that, because then the rest of the week, you know, you're going to have buzz about the two brands. It's very smart for wrestling fans to the way they're going to view these shows. Back to back. You don't have 2-3 days lag. Okay, now SmackDown's on. I think it's great. Okay, Stephanie, you guys did this. Boom, I'm Shane. Boom, I'm coming back with this. I think that's great. The announcers can play off of that because it's live. You can have a lot of fun as announce teams with this. You really can because it's back-to-back. That's all cool. The problem is, man, it's shot the same way. See, NXT, like I said, is not. So that's a big difference there. So they got to come up with little subtle ways, like moving the announce desk, to give it a different look. It's tough to get a different look when you got the same EVP running that truck, meaning Kevin Dunn, you know, or the directors are the same guys. And the directors are just doing what Kevin and Vince McMahon say anyway. So I'm not saying it's like a massive problem, you know what I mean? But like,
if you really want each brand to define itself, you're saying.
Yeah. And now I could look into it. I would doubt they're doing this, but they could bring in, because he works for them for a long time, the fella who runs the production truck for NXT. Have him do SmackDown, but I don't think they'll do that. I would have three different executive producers. I don't think Kevin Dunn's going to go for that, but that's what I would do. That are running the truck, that are shooting things different to make it NXT, Raw, and SmackDown all look different. That's my opinion. But the building setup, the load in of the trucks, and I mean of everything, the set, the stage, the whole nine yards. It's back to back Monday, Tuesday. They're going to save money by using the same cameramen or camera people. That was chauvinistic of me. Damn it, Taz. Why would you do that?
No!
There are women that will control cameras. They're going to save money by doing back-to-back production. You save money on hotels for the crew and all this stuff. You just save money when you go back-to-back. And you have the same crew. They're not going to change crews around. So they need to do little subtle things to make it look different, if that makes any sense to you guys. And I'm sure it does, because you guys are all very, very smart. Jared in Colorado, how you doing?
Taz, how's it going, man?
I'm good, boss. Talk to me.
Well, you completely undercut all my points, so I'm going to go ahead and move on from that.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. Well, yeah, but, say, no, it's your call. Say what you want, bro.
Well, I was just going to ask you about what you thought of the announcers moving, because personally, I liked it.
I handled that already. What's the next thing? I'm joking. Go ahead. I'm teasing.
Personally, I hope they bring back the fist for SmackDown tonight, but
Wow, that's interesting. Imagine they bring back the fist. That'd actually be a good idea. Imagine. That'd be cool. I don't think they're going to, but I think that would be cool.
Nah, but if you're going to try and make the brands look completely different, like you're touching on, I mean, if you're going to go the whole way, you got to add separate referees. They got to be wearing the blue full clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, they basically got to go back to when you were calling color with, unfortunately, Michael Cole next to you, but...
Yeah, no, and Jared, we had, excuse me, we had it. It was all set. It was separate refs. I think they're doing separate refs too with this brand split. You have to do that. You know what I mean, Jared? So that, but you know what I'm saying, dude, is like you gotta have those subtle changes because it's being the production of it will be the graphics, the way they're edited, everything's gonna be the same. It's just different colors. So unless they change it all, we'll find out tonight. I don't think they're gonna. I think you're gonna get a lot of the same elements, just different colors.
Yeah, well, and one thing I noticed, too, and I don't know if I'm jumping any lines on accident, but I was looking at Pepsi Center's tickets, and it looks like they actually have a combined show day for Pepsi Center.
Combined? Like when is that? When is that again?
October 18th and 19th. They have Raw and SmackDown back-to-back. So my question would be, would they even look at using a different set design at all?
Yeah.
Were they going to keep the same set?
I'll tell you the set design. Now, for those that know, the Pepsi Center's in Denver, right? That's actually in, I think I've worked there. That's in Denver, right? Right in Denver?
Yeah, that's right in the heart of downtown.
Right. Yeah. So here's the deal. The set design will be different tonight, I think, for SmackDown. And this, Jared, I'll swan you up here how the set design's done. Okay, because that's what I do here. Free. Give you guys all this information. Don't charge your friggin' dime. Here every day. That's where everybody else sucks, and I'm awesome. So... And Jared, thank you for calling. So here's the thing with the set design. Tonight, you will notice the one of the main things that are subtle enough but make it look different is the lighting. The lighting truss, it's called, okay? The lighting that's over the ring. The lighting that's over the Titantron. All that jazz. If you looked at, I'm showing some memory just real quick of last night on Raw. The lighting by the lighting truss by the Titantron, I believe, was a big arc. Like a huge arc, I believe. I would be pretty much guaranteeing you that will look different on SmackDown. The lighting above the ring. All the lighting will look a little different. It'll still be lit the same, but the metal, the construction of the lighting truss will be a different configuration. And this is all done by you know, designers, engineers who do this for WWE and come in with these fancy damn computers and do these layouts of it. It's not just like... You know, me and the captain sitting there drawing up a sketch. Yeah, all right, well, yeah, put this light over here. Yeah, like we're doing a Taz show here.
Camera 51.
Yeah, camera 51. I'm grabbing it with my hand. You know, Bush League Jones. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not like that with them. They call it a little more high road. So, you know, so, but yeah, the set design. And to Jared from Colorado saying, like, they're doing back-to-back dates at the Pepsi Center in Denver, that's because they're going to save money. And it's easy for the crew, not just the wrestlers. I say crew, I mean the production crew. They're back-to-back. They most of their stuff is loaded in already. Load in, okay? It's load in, there's load out. That's just like bands do, right? You understand?
Yes.
That. You're a musician guy, right? So you got the load in, you got the load out. Do we have load in on this show?
Sort of. We got set up.
Well, we got S show. That's what we got.
We got set up and tear down.
Yeah, we got set up, tear down. Bush League Jones. That'd be a great name for a worker, a wrestler. And now, from New Orleans, Louisiana, weighing 272 pounds, Bush League Jones!
This is awesome! This is awesome!
Jones! So anyways, yeah, so the set would be, you know, a little bit of a different than you see on SmackDown. It's got to be. They're not going to leave the same set design up. I would be shocked. What I would do, okay, I would, and then maybe they'll do this. I don't know. I don't remember what they did on SmackDown Live last week. I don't remember the. I would kill the ramp, like the ramp that they have on Raw. Right, they had the Raw ramp last night, right?
Think so.
I would do, which was my favorite thing, and I was a big part of giving the input back in the ECW days. I kind of got the idea from what they do in Japan. The elevated platform, like ramp, not ramp, like a stage.
That goes straight up to the apron. Correct. You're talking about? Like the way WCW used to do that,
yes,
too, right?
Back, yes, like that. ECW, we did that for a long time, too. But WCW, right. But Japan was the first one that I personally saw doing that. And that, to me, I was always... Because, you know, my thing is, you know, we were elevated. We looked bigger. We looked like stars because we were above everyone. It sounds very narcissistic, but I'm being serious. You know, you got to have that presence, right, as a star. So a lot of us at ECW, a lot of the wrestlers weren't like huge guys. Like back in that era, the WWE and WWF, I should say, and WCW had all these big, giant, jack guys. We didn't have a ton of giant guys. So it would look better for us to walk out on this elevated walkway ramp so we were above everyone. We looked bigger. You know, not just from a size, but just like a star power thing, you know? And it just gave it a different look. So I would do that on SmackDown. I would have something like that or nothing, which I don't think they'll do because nothing is not as TV friendly, but, you know. I don't know. I just think those type of things would be pretty, those little changes like that would be pretty, pretty cool, to be honest with you. That's just, my perspective on the whole thing here. Let's go to Kerry in Mississippi. What's up, man?
Sup, dude?
What's going on, guy? How you doing?
Fantastic. I just want to get my... Can I get my off the hooks?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
And I got a quick comment about the poor Byron Saxton.
The poor guy. Yes, go ahead.
All right. On my off the hooks, I got bad drivers.
Oh, man, we can go on forever with that one. Yeah, I
people that don't use their turn signals.
Yes, yes. Or as I call it, an indicator. I don't say signal. Yes. I say indicator. Yes. Yes. What else do you not like?
I don't like coworkers.
Okay, there you go. I mean,
they all think we got to be friends. I'm here to work.
You don't listen. Listen, take it from me, the way I'm here at CBS. You don't have to be friends with anybody, bro. Okay, trust me. Just go to work with an attitude, okay? And basically tell people at the end of the day, you know what? Hey, Bobby, hey, Jane, Jill, kiss my ass and go home and just come back the next day. As long as you're doing the right thing at work, Kerry, and you're working your ass off, you're doing a good job, you could tell everyone to F off every day.
That's basically what I do.
That's why I like it. That's exactly it. What else you got?
All right, the last one is I got the wrestling haters, the people that try to make fun of wrestling because it's fake. And I'd like to thank the captain for giving me the best comeback ever. Hey, you know that movie's not real. You know those zombies and those dragons? That's not real life, bro.
Right. I don't remember Captain said that. Captain said that on the air?
He said that a while back, at a family event, somebody
was making fun of his wrestling.
Yeah, well, his family bullies him on a regular basis anyway. That's a whole nother story.
No, they're actually all pretty scared of me.
See, a lot of times, Kerry, you know, the captain says something of substance on his show, I completely ignore it. I don't even remember anything he says. I blow him off on a regular basis. I have no idea. I don't even know he's here. What's that? You remember that one thing he said? That was just...
Yeah, that was the one.
All right, bro. What else you got going on, bud? You said you want something about the Saxton, right?
Yeah, man. The guy can't catch a break. I mean, you got new kid on the block. Oh, what's his name? Corey Graves. Yeah. He comes in, and then he's on his head. He should have stood up to him and been like, hey, dude, you're new around here. You're not going to talk to me like that.
I know. I think that's – you're right, what you're saying, by the way, but I think that's the shtick that Byron Saxton has. You know, I'm not a fan of that shtick, but it's almost like he just gets – people just attack him, and, like, he's, like, the gullible – babyface, you know, guy, and I just don't. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not. I don't want to say I'm not a fan of his. I don't want to word that wrong. I think he's very good. He speaks.
I feel bad for him.
He speaks well. I don't feel bad for him because he's getting paid, you know, and he has a career and a contract. And thank you, Kerry, for calling. I appreciate it. I don't feel bad for him. I think that's nice of you. But then again, you're nicer than I. I think that that's just his shtick on the air, and that's what they want him to be. I think he speaks well. He looks great. The guy looks like $1 million. He's a good-looking guy, great physique, great shape, you know. And that's kind of what WWE wants out of their broadcasters now. They want guys that look good, even ex-wrestlers now. They want guys that just look good in the suit and look good on air and have proper grammar and speak eloquently, and that's what they want. And that's what they're doing. I think the days of the former heavyweight champions and guys with legitimate, powerful resumes as pro wrestlers, as commentators in the WWE, I think that's slowly going away. by adding, and this is, it sounds so disrespectful, but adding people like Otunga, or am I saying his name right?
I think that's how it's pronounced.
Or Saxton and stuff like that, or even Corey Graves. I know Corey's wrestled, and he had to be sidelined because of injuries, and that sucks for the guy. But, you know, still, I'm talking about guys with long resumes. You know, I'm talking about guys that have been around the block and, you know, really, those days are gone. And that's just what, as far as WWE goes, they're just not going to go that route with their color commentators. All right, we're going to go to break here. On the other side of break, we got a lot of people to talk to that are on hold. We'll get to you. I will get to you. And still go on into Raw. I haven't really got too deep into it. We'll be right back here on the Taz Show.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, welcome back here, Taz Show, Tuesday edition coming at you. And, you know, it's summertime. I'm so happy, Captain. It's like I get to wear, Captain, my flip-flops in the summer. I'm a big flip-flop guy. I don't want to wear socks.
I'll make sure no one steps on your feet or anything like that.
Well, in Manhattan, it's dangerous. You got to be careful. You don't get run over by a taxi in your foot. Or maybe a dog runs over and decides to, you know, sit down on my foot while I'm at the Starbucks or something like that. But anyway, I digress. So the thing is, like, this is kind of like I want to talk about a new advertiser, a new partner here with the Taz Show. And it's kind of an awkward topic. Because, and it's important this time of year with flip-flops, is your feet, right? Your feet need to look good. And the last thing you want is a fungus on your toe, on your toenail, per se. Okay, you don't want that. And it's actually more common than people know. And it's something that people are discreet about and they're private about because it's uncomfortable to talk about. You know, now, Clear Touch Nails, okay? There are someone that are partnered up here with the Taz Show here and Play It and CBS. And Radiance, the makers of Clear Touch Nails, makes a medical aesthetic device, a technology in Clear Touch Nails, in this product, in this device, I should say, called Clear Touch. It's LHE, light and heat energy, okay? LHE is a form of phototherapy. Now, you're like, what are you talking about? What I'm talking about is nail fungus. Nail fungus is something that guys have more than women, and it's something that's that spreads very easy. Okay, and it's something that over years has been treated with like laser, where they drill little holes into your nail, or with pills, which are most kind of like pills are dangerous because it could affect your liver and damage your liver. Because any pill you take, your liver needs to break it down. Okay, there's creams, there's ointments, they remove your nail. No more, you don't have to worry about that. With Clear Touch Nails, this thing in my hand right here, this device right here, okay, this thing right here, let's zoom in if you can, Bri. Okay, this device right here, okay, is awesome. The top of this right here, you put on your nail, on your foot, let's say your big toe nail, whatever, you put it on, let's say this is my nail, you put it on there, you hit the button, okay, hit the gimmick, it lights up, and you do that right there, 10 seconds, and that's it. Repeat that twice a day. And that therapy right there from this device will cure these problems that you don't want to have because it's gross to run around with your nails falling off.
And that looks a lot easier to deal with than all the other methods.
You don't want to deal with the other methods. Absolutely. This device is awesome. So I have a website. Basically, you go to cleartouchtaz.com. Cleartouchtaz.com. So you go there or call 800-909-9080. ClearTouchTaz, okay, .com. And basically, I'm telling you right now, this will solve your problems, especially in the summertime right now or anytime. And this is a very, very, it's something, I mean, that can spread easily with your significant other in bed, believe it or not. It's something that, you know, can jump onto someone else. So nail fungus is not a good thing. I know Handsome John, if he was here, we talked about this last week in a text. He had some nail fungus because of some interaction he had with a female. It's a whole other story. And I know he's big into the Clear Touch Nails and the device, but I digress. So I just wanted to talk to you guys real quick about that. Check them out. Go to cleartouchtaz.com, okay? And you could check it out. And you don't have to tell no one. Private, do your thing. You're good to go. Okay, so we have to give our off the hook, our third one, and then I have to continue talking about Raw. I got a million people calling the show. So, third off the hook. Can you give us a recap, by the way? My two off the hooks and yours?
Sure. Your first one was people in public looking like a schmuck.
Yes, that's a big thing. Yes, that's a big problem for me. Yeah.
My first one was cell phone addicts.
Yes, you don't like that. I know.
No.
Yes.
Your second one was when people don't call you back.
Yeah. Yeah, that really grinds my gears or burns my ass. Yes.
My second one was slow walkers.
Yes.
On the sidewalk.
Yeah, I believe in that. I agree with you on that. You want to take your shoulder and drive it into their lower back and say, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to drill you in the back. Now, the third one for me, this is real simple. People. That's what grinds my gears. That's what pisses me off. People in general. I don't like people. I hate everyone.
I live for anger and frustration.
I don't do well with people. I don't interact well with people. I don't. If I'm not in front of a microphone or talking to people on the phone here on the Taz Show, I can't gel well. You've seen me in GP, general population. You've seen how I am.
Yes.
Captain, you know I'm on the air with you. I'm a good guy, right? I'm a nice guy.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah. So
most of the time.
But people in general, I just can't stand. But that's just me. Now, what's your third?
My third is the New York City subway system.
Oh, my God. You live on it.
Basically.
That's your whole life.
Yeah.
What is it? You just sick of
everything
everybody?
Everything about it. The stench.
Stench is unbelievable. There's rats everywhere and there's rodents. What the hell? Come on. That's an inside wrestling joke. So
the platforms are like 10 to 15 degrees warmer than outside. So
the smell, the mustiness of some of these people walking around. Ugh. They don't wash their ass neck, and they got all sorts of fungus on their necks and face area. Yeah.
And now there's some plan where in a few years they want to introduce new trains that aren't segmented. It's just kind of like one long car.
Just one big ass train?
Yeah. So if, you know, there's some stench in one part of the train, everyone will get to smell it.
Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Sounds good. Thanks. Thanks for sharing. Appreciate that. Hey, Daryl in Chicago. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, Taz?
Good, bro. We're loading some vendor. What are we loading today, bro? Tell me what we're loading.
Some cherry apple pies.
Ho, 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 Nelly. I'm a big fan of the cherry. I like the apple pie a little bit better than the cherry, though, bro.
Oh, yeah.
You hear me. What's up? Talk to me. Whoa, what's going on? You're right over there. I heard something. There was a train near you.
No, everything's good.
All right, bro. Talk to me.
I think Raw probably was like the best show in a long time.
Yeah.
Yep. But my worry is SmackDown, because I think Raw has a much deep roster than SmackDown. So I think it might, you know, beat out SmackDown weekly.
There's a good chance, because they do have, you know, more programming. It's another 60 minutes. Well, with commercial time, it's less than 60 minutes, but... Yeah, and it seems like in the draft they got more talent because they had to, which is why, Daryl, I felt like they should have had NXT take that other hour. I'm still hanging on to that. I won't let it go. Daryl, thank you for calling, buddy. I just can't let that go. But Daryl makes a good point. He is concerned for SmackDown. I don't know. At first I was concerned too. I'm believing in WWE right now. I like this business model. I like I said, the next day, today, live, right after Raw on Tuesday, here's SmackDown Live. I like the competitiveness of it and all that jazz. I'm excited to see the differences of the show. You know, I'm excited to see if they go about less exposure for Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan like they did last night with Stephanie and Mick. You didn't see them much at all at the top of the show, and that was really it, right?
Yeah, to introduce the new roster, and that was about it, right?
I don't remember seeing them anymore. I just really don't. I mean, but I thought that was cool, the way they kicked it off with all the talent coming out there. I did, and at first, I want to throw a flag because I'm like, okay, and they named the guys that are going to be in this Fatal 4-Way matches, which I love the concept, but I told you guys yesterday, they got to have a world champion, okay? They got to have a world champion, and you know, the title is going to be called the WWE Universal Championship.
What are you, nuts?
That is horrid. That stinks. That name sucks.
What are you turning this guy into?
What are we doing? Then on the Twitter,
suck.
Then on the Twitter, it's the Universal TV Remote Championship. It's the Bill Watts UWF. It's Carlos Colon in Puerto Rico's. You're right. It's the Universal Movie Production logo belt. I saw some of that. That was hysterical. Stop. I'm old school. I need the word world in there. WWE World Championship. WWE Championship, okay. That's what they call it. It's still a world title. And I you know, I understand they had, was it Mick who said it? It's they played off the WWE Universe.
Yes.
I like that. I like that part. Don't like the word universal. And when he said the universe, I was there. I was getting ready to leave, I should say, when that whole universe thing started. And I was like, oh, God, this is cringeworthy. You know, I hate this whole universe thing. It's like, we got to give the fans an identity. They're not just the fans, damn it. Taz, no, they're not the audience. They're not the fans. They're the universe. Taz, you suck. Thanks, Vince. I don't like the name of the title. And I think a lot of you guys don't. How about that? I decided for you. Another thing on it. Corey Graves, as we talked a little bit about the announcing, some people are like, what'd you think? What'd you think? How'd he do? How'd he do? How'd he do? How'd he do? I thought he did excellent. I thought he was seamless. I did. Now, let's see how he does in 3-4 shows when Vince McMahon gets comfortable speaking to him and starts to micromanage him. Let's see if he can handle that. People are like, you think Vince is yelling at him already? Look, Vince didn't yell. Vince gave a lot of direction, which a lot of times was helpful. But there were many times where it was very distracting. And, you know, you had to deal with it. Let's see how he does with that. If Vince does that, I'm sure Vince is going to. He has a long track record of doing that. So we'll see how that goes. I think Corey will do well. I also think that the chemistry between Michael Cole and Corey Graves was excellent. And the reason why I can tell you why it's excellent is because I'm pretty sure Michael Cole has been the one producing Corey with NXT. So over time, behind the scenes, I'm sure they've built a friendship. And Michael Cole's smart enough to barnacle himself to the younger people to build his longevity. Every time I say the word barnacle, the captain has a smirk on his face.
It's a funny-sounding word.
Am I not using the word properly?
No, it's just a funny-sounding word.
Whenever I say it, I think of SpongeBob, like something on a ship. The barnacle on the boat. So I think Corey did a very good job. I don't think you need Byron Saxton there. I just don't think you need him there. I said it yesterday. I like the two-man teams. But I thought these three guys sounded good. I liked the announcing last night. I liked the announcing. I thought it was good. So as a whole, I did. I enjoyed the 3 hours. I thought all three guys did a good enough job. And I said same things about Corey Graves. I'm not knocking Corey. I'm just saying, like what I said about commentators, it's just my opinion on long history of in-ring ability to really bring that long tooth of a legacy as a competitor. He doesn't have it. A lot of these guys don't have it. And it's just a different world now. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just giving you my opinion. So before you bash me on Twitter, make sure you understand why I'm saying that. So when they started the show off with all the guys on the stage, all the talent, the guys and girls on the stage, I thought that was cool. Okay, and then Stephanie just buried Roman Reigns. Just buried him. By design. It's the nonstop, relentless babyface attempt push that will never end. They still want to get this guy over as a babyface. And if you watched him wrestle last night, there is big money, not money, big money in Roman Reigns as a heel. I promise you. I promise you. There is big money in him as a heel. But they keep going with the babyface thing. They just keep on going. And he's in a doghouse. And I knew right away, once just to fast forward a little bit, I knew he wasn't going to beat Finn. I knew it. People are like, oh, you're crazy. Oh, Vince's going to stick the end of the fence. No, I'm not crazy. I told you. Told you so. Because the guy's in the doghouse. Once I saw Finn win, I knew Roman was in the doghouse. Not. I'm talking about when Finn won his first match and I knew he was in that fatal four-way, I knew he was going to win. They got to put him over. Because they gave him a moment when all those talents were on the stage. And he came out of nowhere. And the way the camera work awesome, that's what I look at, the camera work. He was center stage, legit. He's a boss. Here he is. He's a boss. I know he's going to win that Fatal 4-Way match, and I know he's going to go on to SummerSlam and win a second match tonight in the main event. And I knew it was going to be against Roman Reigns. I just hard cap being a smart. You know, really, you'll never know what that's like, but it's hard. I mean that in a good way. I'm just saying.
Oh, of course.
I mean that nicely. Hey, Will in the Bronx, what's up?
Will,
what's going on, buddy? It's Taz. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Taz?
Good talk to me, bro.
Hey, so last time I called you was the Friday before you guys went on vacation.
Yes, sir.
And I completely marked out so much talking to you that I never got to say ahoy, Captain.
Ahoy.
Aha! Look at that. See that? That's all right. The captain needs his love, too, because everybody knows I kind of get mad at him, and he's going to get fired at the end of this show anyway. We're going to get rid of him soon, so that's happening. What's going on, buddy? What's up?
Yeah, so since you guys were talking about, like, announcing and being on ringside, how come the Spanish announce table is always usually the first one to go?
Well, I think because they feel most of the audience listening are listening to the English broadcasting. So it's easier to disrupt the table that maybe the majority of people are not listening to, but not hearing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I'm saying, like, but since they're announcing, like, would they pretty much not tell them that, you know, they're going to, like, probably do, you know, a spot on the table to get kind of, like, the same reaction?
Yeah. Yeah, they do the same thing with the Spanish announce table, sure. They do. I mean, it became a joke while I was there that they knew the Spanish announcers would joke around with us. They knew. It was like, wow. It got to a point where almost every night they were getting their table busted. Not every TV, I should say, or pay-per-view. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So since it happened so often, kind of where, like, the reaction of, like, the general reaction kind of, like, faded away after a while. Like, oh, okay, the table broke again.
Same old, same old. Yeah, it became like a joke. You know what I mean? And not in a negative fashion, but yeah. It did. Thank you, Will, for calling, buddy. Yeah, it did. Yeah, for sure. I mean, but I think it's just because the bulk of the audience was not listening in Espanol, as they call it. The Espanol! Say it for me, Cap. You got the dialects.
El Espanol.
El Espanol.
Espanol.
El Espanol! I say, El Espanol!
Now you make me, I got to find out how to say acting in Spanish, because I don't know how to say that.
El acting! I just did it. El acting! Yeah. Hey, Wedgie in Pittsburgh. What's up, buddy?
Taz, what's up, my man?
What's up, brother?
Not too much. Just went ahoy, Captain.
Ahoy.
What's up, big guy?
Hey, just want to let you guys know, was that Raw last night? You had a great time.
How? Yeah, well, did you have good seats?
Fourth row from the top.
Oh, all right, you were up there. That's all right. At least it probably was a good environment anyway, right? Even if you're high up.
It was great. It was nice to see all the little kids and the signs.
Yeah. It's cool, man.
I just want to let you guys know. I don't know if you guys know what happened after all last night.
I don't, because I was counting sheep.
Okay.
That's what I was. Because I can't get up early, you know what I mean?
So what would you think if you would have heard that it was John Cena and Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles and Roman Reigns?
John Cena, Dean Ambrose
versus Roman Reigns. I'm sorry, not Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins.
Yeah, and AJ Styles.
And AJ Styles against John Cena. And now John Cena's on SmackDown.
So is AJ Styles.
That's right, so is AJ Styles. I'm still getting used to who's on what show here.
And so is Dean Ambrose.
That's right. Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, that's what you call for the house. You know, it's just because you guys all bought a ticket. And to credit to WWE, they're giving you 3 hours of a live TV production, and then they're going to give you a bonus match.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, I think that's cool. It's just for the house, as we call it. You know, that is cool. I'm sure people must have went nuts when they saw the SmackDown guys come out.
Well, half the people left.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you saw all these people rush back in.
Right. Well, that's when you need to throw stuff at those people.
Right.
Know? Right. I mean,
we don't leave until the lights come on.
Hey, man, well, you're going to get your money's worth. We know that about you, Wedgie. I mean, you're not going to play around. You're going to get your money's worth, right or wrong?
Hey, that's why you pay the money for.
That's why you pay them. But you don't want people calling you a cheap bastard. You know what I mean?
That's true.
No, you don't want that.
Cheap bastard.
But you want to get your money's worth. I respect that. You know what I mean?
That's true. And then, like I say, it was a great show last night, so.
Well, did you go with a lot of people or just yourself?
Well, my son, that was a Father's Day present from my son and his girlfriend. So.
That's really nice.
And we took my 9-year-old, who was first time.
That's he awesome. Well, that's good. I mean, it must have been crazy. Well, actually, you left late, so the traffic probably wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't bad at all.
All right, Wedgie. Well, look, I appreciate you calling, giving us that insight. I did not know that. We call it a dark match. I didn't know the dark match was Cena and Ambrose versus Rollins and Styles. That's cool, man.
But yeah, it was a great match. One of the better matches that night. So.
Who won the match?
The good guys. Yeah, the good guys.
Yeah, of course. All right, big guy. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. Welcome back.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye. See you, man. Right. Bye-bye. Bye. Wedgie. He's got a great name. Really? I remember when he first called the show, our call screening team, led by Jasmine.
Back then when there were 24 of them?
Yeah. They if you call with an odd name, they're going to ridicule you. Well, when did you get the name? Is that your real name? Can you spell it? Do you have ID? Oh, yeah. No, it's a screening process here. It's insane. You can't just call the show and think you're going to get through. Come on. These people wait months and months to get through. It's like...
There's a waiting list.
There's a waiting list for the list. It's the way we do it here. Oh, boy. We got a problem. Hey, who's this? Kwame. Kwame in Canada? I remember you. I'm saying your name wrong now, dude. Damn.
No, you're actually saying it right, Taz. How's it going? It
throws me off. We got to call you Special K from now on.
I like it.
Dude, I have a hard time with names sometimes. You know what I mean? What's going on, buddy?
Well, I just wanted to say I definitely marked out last time I called, and I forgot to say first time, long time.
Well, see, but that was the first time. You can't do that.
Right? So there's now second time, long time.
Second time, Jabba City. I hear you. Hi, buddy. What's going on, man?
I wanted to put you guys over and also give you a tidbit of information. First and foremost, I work two full-time jobs, and it's kind of hard to do anything.
Yes.
But I always got your show, and
you,
I really appreciate everything
Thank
that you guys do. You guys keep me sane.
All right. Well, I appreciate you saying that. Sounds like you're in a call screening room. I appreciate you saying that, buddy, very much. We got to control that phone or you'll be banned for life.
got it.
What else you got going on, bro? That's it?
Actually, and also about 10, 15 minutes ago, I tweeted out a picture. I'm not a graphic designer or a t-shirt designer, but while you guys were on vacation, I was listening to old podcast versions of the show, the May 23rd show, right after Extreme Rules. You guys were trying to remember what Seth Rollins' gimmick was, the redesign, rebuild, reclaim.
Yes.
And immediately, a t-shirt idea popped in my head. And I think it'd be awesome if you guys put it on clothesline. I mean, you don't have to, but I think that'd be kind of cool. But I tweeted it out about maybe 10, 15 minutes ago at Kwame G.
All right.
If you guys can check it out.
We'll take a look at it later on, and maybe we'll retweet it or something like that. But I appreciate that, big guy.
I hope it pops, you guys.
All right, Special K. I appreciate it, man.
All right. Have a good day.
See you, big guy. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, it's funny, Kwame, Special K, brings up a t-shirt, and before I continue talking about Raw, I want to say, as the man himself, the Macho Man, would say, thinking. love that guy. He was the best, man. The Macho would say, thinking. I've been thinking about t-shirts. Yeah, we just came out with the new Sea of Slunkers a few weeks back, whatever it was. It's all the shirts are clotheslined at clothesline.com. You can find all the stuff there. But I got an idea for a new t-shirt. I usually don't share the ideas on air. And I'm wearing the captain's shirt right now. You can get this one at Pro Wrestling Tees. Okay? And I'll tell you what. I have an idea, because people have a lot of fun and they say, hey, Taz, my whole vocabulary has changed because I listen or watch the Taz show. And I've learned all these new words. Well, hello. I think I need to put out a shirt with clothesline with words, all the different words. Gimmick, schnabbits, fernum, burnum, stuff like that. Whatever, Freelo Jones. What was the other one I had? I just had a Freelo Jones. No, the Jones.
You've had a whole lot of different Joneses.
Yeah, it's just the Joneses.
You got a whole Jones family tree.
Where I hacked that? I did hack that from someone. You know that, right? I think I said it on the air.
I think so. I can't remember.
Mike Tenay.
Oh,
Mike
Tenay.
Mike Tenay's the first guy I heard do that. We do that all the time behind the scenes. But I did hack that from the Tenay. So, yeah. But, yeah, I'm thinking about a shirt with a different word. So, if you guys want to, send to the Taz Show account. Well, actually, whatever. Just tweet to one of the accounts. Or maybe on Instagram, Taz Talk, TAZTALK. Send it to the Instagram. So send a list of 10 words that you've learned from the Taz show whenever you get a chance.
We'll rush.
No, there's no rush. I need it by tomorrow. No, just I think that might be cool. Do you think it's a good idea?
Yeah, why not?
Just put the logo on it, throw all the words on. Taz show, I don't know, dictionary, Taz show vocabulary, something like that.
What if you put out a Taz show word a day calendar?
What do you mean? Like a
like a whole calendar with a different word each day.
It's not a bad idea. I like the t-shirt thing, but I do like that. All right, we got to go to break. Other side of break, I'm going to get deeper into Raw, take some more calls, but really talk a lot about Raw. And
we also got a Mike Johnson coming up.
Oh, damn. Do we have to? Is he coming up next?
Yes, the plan.
Oh, jeez. I love the Mike Johnson. Is he coming on?
As far as I know, I saw Mike tweeting a little while ago, too, that he'll be on.
So that must mean he's coming on.
Yes.
No one cares.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yeah, well, 1 hour down, 1 hour coming at you. I got a lot more to talk about. I actually forgot Mike Johnson was coming on. I think we missed a week. We're on vacation. I think Mike was on vacation. Coincidentally, but then there's rumors you guys were fly fishing together, you and Mike.
I was pretty busy. I was fishing with Mike, then I fought that boar.
Yes. I forgot about the boar. I had the hidden footage of you fighting the boar off of the shores of Tripoli.
There you go.
Came out of the ocean. You whooped that boar's ass. Scared him off.
It owed me some money.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, a very loaded Taz show. First hour, covered some stuff on Raw. Talked a little about some stuff possibly on SmackDown or whatever, all that kind of jazz. And so we got to get rolling here with get the Mike Johnston with the PW Insider Report here in a second. If my producer would look at me, I think he is. Oh, yeah, that's great. So without any further ado, we got our fancy Dan open for the mic.
And now, the PW Insider Report with Mike Johnson. We give Mike 10 minutes. He gives us everything we need to know in the world of pro wrestling.
Well, hello, Mr. Mike Johnson. How are you, sir?
I am good. Happy 200 episodes, gentlemen.
Yes, 201. And you don't have to thank the captain. It's all about me. It's not about him. It's my career. It's not him.
Okay? Well, congratulations, Taz.
Yes, the captain's irrelevant. You know this. No, I'm joking, kind of.
Tell that to the boar.
The boar. Did you see what was tweeted by me last week? There was actually an incident.
I heard, yeah.
It's crazy.
I saw.
I saw. It's big. I don't know why that wasn't on PW Insider Report. Speaking of the captain and PW Insider Report, are we still working on this interview? I noticed like we're getting a bunch of people involved. The publicist for the captain has got to go through his legal team. Is there any updates on this interview?
We spoke via email, and we said we were going to set something up, and then we all went our separate ways.
Yeah, so how was your vacation? Was it nice?
It was good. Very, very good and very relaxing. I only did 13 audios while I was away.
I know. You worked a lot. I noticed that. I was very happy to see that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, it's not a gig where you clock in and clock out, so you gotta try and time manage yourself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You got to have a significant other that is willing to deal with that, right?
and is very, 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 very patient.
Yes, sir. I wasn't here working, doing shows, but, you know, I was on the social media while I was on vacation, you know, just which is a big part of, you know, all of our businesses now, right? Social media.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like people are like, man, you take a break. Do you take? I don't sleep. I want to take a break, but I want to win. You know, I got to win. It's all about winning.
I don't want to get paid to lose. I want to win.
All right, Big Mike. So what's going on, bro? What kind of news you got for me, big man?
Well, you know, obviously, second episode of SmackDown Live will be tonight. And we're going to get to see how American Alpha and Carmella and some of these other call-ups are fit into the SmackDown brand. We're going to get to see probably the beginnings of who Dean Ambrose is going to face at SummerSlam. And they got a hell of a show they got to follow because I thought they did an excellent job at Battleground, and I thought they did an excellent job last night at Raw. Raw was a lot of fun to watch.
Yes.
And I know you touched upon a lot of it, but even just the production tweaks, it felt very fresh.
Yes.
It felt very different. It felt more like a wrestling show as opposed to a TV show. I really enjoyed the 3 hours. It flew by really quick.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, man. I thought they did a great job, and I was talking earlier about, like, so now they have a little bit of a task that they got to try from a production standpoint to give us a different look tonight on SmackDown Live, because my whole thing, Mike, was as great, and I loved Raw too, and I loved Battleground. I'm with you. But my thing is now, to your point, on SmackDown, what do we do? Okay, we know it's going to be different colors. We got that. We know we got different announced teams, different talent, and that's all cool. Okay, now the problem is, though, you have the same people working cameras, same people as directors, same people as the executive producer. So it's being shot the same way, where NXT is shot totally different because you have different people running it. So that's because they have, you know, they got to keep the same crew running because they want to save money. You know, they got to have back-to-back days and all that stuff. But so now what I got, you know, I want to see what they do to give it a different look. You know, and I made a suggestion like, okay, obviously we did last night, the announce desk on the ramp, on the stage. Well, tonight, I guarantee you, the announce desk will be ringside just to give it a little bit of a different look than Raw. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. The lighting trust, I think, will be different. That'll be a whole different lighting grid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know what? I expect that they're going to – things that they did on Raw that they didn't do last night, I expect we're going to see more of the traditional way that they've always shot wrestling. One thing I was real happy to see disappear last night was the shaky cam. Like, they would always, like, close in and kind of turn sideways during the punches and things and during the stage promos and stuff.
I
was so happy to see that gone. You know, that MTV way of shooting things, that might have been cool and hip in the 1990s, but it's so overdone. And you know, I expect we're going to see a lot of, I really think they're going to take this on as a challenge, and they're going to try and shoot this show even more uniquely and more different.
Yes.
If that's even a proper way of phraseology. But I agree with you. One of the things I wrote on the site months ago is that when they did this split, they needed to have a completely different director behind the in the truck calling the show. It can't be Kevin Dunn every night.
Oh, wait a minute now. Hold, you just catch that cap, what he just did?
I think
so.
Did
you see what he just did?
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on a minute. But did I just experience Mike Johnson accusing me of a hack alert? Did I? What the? Wait a minute. What the hell just happened, Johnson? You just accused me of hacking you.
I guess I did. Stop hacking me. I don't
know. Stop hacking me. I did not. I didn't know you said that, but great minds think alike, pal. So see, there you go.
Of course.
I'll tell you something else they did last night that a lot of people maybe didn't notice. And I don't think they'll do this on SmackDown just to be different. They went with the immediate reaction from the talent with an announcer, in this case, Byron Saxton. You know where I'm going with this. Right after a certain contest or something like that, or just to get immediate reaction like they did back in the day. You would see that in the NWA years ago. You know what I mean? Like, just that immediate announcer right there type thing. You know what I mean? I don't think they'll do that on SmackDown just to be different, but I thought it was a great touch that Raw did. I really enjoyed that part of it. And being experienced an announcer from the WWE, you know how they do things, it would not shock me if a lot of that was impromptu and they shoot on the talent just to get a real reaction. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I actually like that because I feel like the post-match interviews make you feel more like you're watching an event that's unfolding in real time as opposed to a very slickly produced television show.
Yes.
And you know, the original lore of Monday Night Raw was live TV. You know, that was the old catchphrase for it, uncooked, uncut, and uncensored. And to me, like, that's what made Raw fun. And I think the last couple of years, one of the problems WWE's really struggled with is they've gotten so great with their production and things have been so well produced and they've had so many writers and so many backstage segments that are pre-shot that the show just feels too perfect. And if the show feels too perfect, the live element and the idea of I need to watch this gets lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
Last night, I felt like it was more of like a pay-per-view atmosphere in terms of I didn't know what was going to happen and I was watching a wrestling show that was being broadcast and that's a completely different element from a television show about wrestling.
Amen.
And I liked it. And we'll see how long it lasts. If the ratings won't do well this week, I don't think it'll last very long.
Right, right.
But I enjoyed it. It was a good 3 hours of wrestling. There were like two or three matches that were 17 to 25 minutes each.
A lot of wrestling.
You can't beat that if you're a wrestling fan. A
lot of wrestling for sure. I mean, God, I was saying to Captain, we saw Stephanie and Mick at the top of the show, and I think that was it, right? I don't think we saw them anytime else, right? That was it?
Absolutely it. Last time we saw them was the opening segment.
You know, and also something else they did, I didn't get a chance to talk about this, that we haven't really seen in a while. Maybe once in a while you see it on NXT, but squash matches. We saw not one but two, one with Nia Jax, one with Strowman. Strowman. So we saw two squash matches, which I thought was a nice element, and I think that they picked the right talent to do that with, because both Strowman and Nia Jax are both inexperienced, and I think they need that to build their characters and who they are, and they need to get those two people on the road working house shows with talent that can really help hone their craft, because they're green, to be honest. So
yeah, and they even gave the one guy, the one enhancement guy, the mic, and have him cut a promo about maybe I'll be able to get the upset, which that was absolutely tremendous funny stuff, and it only added to the poor Sapp's appearance when Strowman got in the ring and then he started crouching down and hiding in the corner.
It was great.
It was old school stuff.
It was so different, and you don't see that really anymore with WWE. Creative and stuff like that. So I thought they did a good job with that. Now you talked about SmackDown and, like you said, about Carmella and American Alpha going to SmackDown. I mean, have you heard of any other talent they were going to bring up into SmackDown or Raw that they didn't? Or because I talked a little bit about Bayley, you know, yesterday, where people I think were thinking, oh my God, she's bummed out. She's not getting called up, you know, as the saying goes. But I said, well, how do you know she's not happy where she is? I mean, some people, I would love to just be in NXT because you're not micromanaged. You do your thing. You get to be a big fish in a small pond, and you're getting paid. You know, and then somebody said, well, she went on Chris Jericho's show, said she was a little disappointed she didn't get pulled through Raw SmackDown. I didn't know that because I don't, no disrespect to Chris, but I don't listen to his show. But I'm just saying, I think people assume and they just clump all wrestling people into this thing where you left WWE, or you got fired from WWE, or you quit WWE. You want to go back there. You want to be back there. How do you know? Why is it a foregone conclusion that because a wrestler is on NXT, wants to go to Raw SmackDown? If you're saying they're going to make double the money, okay, yeah, then maybe they want to. Or maybe they're just happy. Maybe they come from a strong financial background where their parents are rich, and they just want to wrestle for fun, and they're having a good time in NXT. I'm just saying, have you heard of other talents that, let's just say, maybe had the opportunity to get called up or were happy they weren't called up? How about that?
I haven't heard of anybody who is happy they weren't called up. I think the two names that were bounced around before the draft that I had heard, one was Bayley, and I think based on the Battleground appearance, I'd be shocked if she's not on the main roster come September or October. I think, you know, she's got to at least let her current storyline NXT play out. The other name that I heard bounced around was No Way Jose, and that was like, they were expecting he was going to be brought up, and I thought, wow, that's a little too early for him. And then instead, Mojo ended up being the last guy from the male side of the roster who was brought up. And I think, you know, he was at a point where it was time for him to go. There really wasn't anything left for him in NXT.
Yeah, but they didn't do him any justice. You come running down the ramp full speed. You have the guy get in the ring. The heel Rusev doesn't powder. You make a Mojo look like a schmuck. You know, you got to have the heel powder or have the baby face bump the heel. It's just that was bad. I felt bad for the kid Mojo. I did.
Yeah, I think that was more just to establish that he and Zach are going to be a tag team on the main roster than anything else, because Rusev and those guys are going to separate brands, so you knew one side wasn't going to sell for the other at that point.
I felt like you kind of established his character, had no balls. Not Mojo himself, I'm saying his character. I think you got to have him bump the guy, or you got to have him just have the guy powder. You can't have the heel bow up to him like that. I know it's Rusev, but you got to get the guy over. That's bad.
Well, it was Rusev, but they had no problem with Finn Balor beating him last night. So I see your point.
Yeah, because they put the rocket on Finn, and well deserved. So
absolutely.
So I guess we'll see tonight. Well, I'm excited. I was saying, dude, I think for wrestling fans, Mike, it's kind of cool that like the very next day, boom, here we go. We got a live Raw. I'm sorry, live SmackDown, fresh off of a live Raw. As opposed to waiting a couple of days where it festers, now you got the whole week, the rest of the week after tonight, where people are talking about Raw and SmackDown leading into Raw again. I think it's great for the WWE's business model and the way they did this. I think it's awesome that USA partnered with them the right way and gave them what they wanted and all this jazz. It's a great fit. Everything's great the way they're doing it.
Yeah, I agree. And the one thing that, you know, everyone would always say, oh, SmackDown's a secondary brand because it's taped. SmackDown's secondary brand because the spoilers are out there. Well, there's none of that anymore. Any excuse for SmackDown is just a secondary brand, you have to wipe that away and start fresh. And the only thing that's going to keep SmackDown from being a secondary brand to Raw at this point is poor creative and talent's not getting over. And they've got a free open opportunity to kind of really kick ass the way that Raw did last night.
Let me interrupt you. I'm sorry. I get what you're saying. I agree to a degree. I kind of disagree a little bit with the secondary thing because there has been, like, look, first of all, if you're going to be even Steven here, you can't have one show 3 hours and one 2 hours. And, you know, I was wrong. I thought that they were going to have NXT get that other hour. That didn't happen. I'm still hanging on to that. I know it's not going to happen, but I'm, like, obsessed with this idea. I just think it would have been perfect. But whatever. I understand TV contracts, and they're contracted to give 3 hours of Raw to USA, so they could have did, hey, Raw presents NXT in hour three, whatever. I do think that it's not even. And I do think that the very next day after the draft, when you have one of their Hall of Famers say to a guy like John Cena on air, do you feel like you were demoted because you went to SmackDown? See, when you say that, you know, and you allow the guy or tell the guy to say that to a guy like John Cena, that's not good. That sets a really bad tone. You know what I mean?
But on the other side of the coin, though, you did have Cesaro angry that he was drafted to Raw because he wanted to go to SmackDown. So it's not like Raw escaped unscathed in that regard either.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, the Cesaro thing, I think they could have went a little further with. They just went on the WWE Network with it a little bit on the pre-show of the Battleground gimmick. You know, he was trying to work shoot a little bit, and I felt like they, you know, Renee Young and stuff, they didn't work with him well. And maybe, I'm sure she was produced in her ear. Renee Young was probably being told wrap him up. I think they should have went a little further with the disgruntled Cesaro, and they didn't do that. And last night was their opportunity to do that with Cesaro, and they did not, because I think that had some legs. Just that he's just disgruntled, that he's not higher up, and that he's just pissed at, you know, just anti-conform. I just think that would have worked for him. And you could see that in him when he did his promo right after the draft, or when he talked, when they interviewed him, he was real. Let him do that on Raw. Let him do it. You know what I mean?
Well, you would certainly know about what it's like being a disgruntled, pissed off guy with a chip on your shoulder getting over.
Come on now, Mike.
Will you stop?
What the hell? All right, so what else is going on, bro? What's going on, dude? You got everything else going on? Everything's good over there in PW Insider? You good over there?
Everything's good. Just getting back into the groove of things. I'm going to set up a bunch of interviews today and be doing a bunch of audios. And I know at least one former talent who's expected back on the SmackDown side of things this week. I know he's going to be there. Whether he's used or not, I don't know. And it's a former ECW champion. So,
all right, well, I'm glad. I know you. You would never give spoilers, so that's cool. So, but you'll talk about that on your Elite section, or you're not talking about that
today? No, I mentioned it on the site. I'm just not going to mention it here in case anybody doesn't want to get spoiled.
All right, don't get upset. No. Don't get upset, Mike. I just asked you a simple question.
Don't get upset.
Yeah, you got a little upset.
Like vacation.
You got a little pissed off. I noticed you got a little.
Captain and I went fly fishing.
Fly fishing, yeah.
It calmed Mike down. It did.
It calmed Mike down. You and Mike and the handsome Johnny drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels, some Southern Comfort. You guys are fly fishing, dipping tobacco. And I'd pay millions to see that. Millions. Oh, my God. All right, listen, plug away. Plug me some Elite. How do I get on the Elite gimmick? What do I do?
You can check out PW Insider's Elite section, which is completely ad-free for 3 days free by going to pwinsiderelite.com and subscribing. You can try us out for 3 days free, and if you like it, you stay on board. If you don't, well, you leave and tell us to go flip off.
Well,
and
yeah, that's fine.
It's fair, right? 3 days free is fair.
Absolutely.
And you can check us out at pwinsider.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @MikePWInsider. And you can follow the website at pwinsider.com on Twitter. So.
Okay, well, lucky you. 5 billion people just watched you and heard you say that.
Yes.
Well, so, I appreciate all 5 billion of you. But none of you, Taz.
All right, buddy. Well, look, we'll talk at you next week, man.
All right, I'm glad you guys had a good vacation. Welcome back, and get to work on 202.
All right, bro. Sounds good, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care, gentlemen.
See you, buddy. So there you go. To Mike Johnson, always comes in, brings it in the right way, does a good job always. You know, I would pay to see you guys fishing. And what's the deal? Why, Mike's a good man. You go do an interview with the guy.
No,
don't give a hard time here. Really.
We'll plan something.
That's a great opportunity for you. Mike and Dave Shearer, those guys, they have a strong hardcore following of fans. Don't be a douche, Captain. Yeah, really, come on. Be a nice guy.
We'll figure something out.
Don't let the stardom you have here get to your head, all the money you make. Please, I know how you walk around with your nose in the air now. You're a big star, okay? Mike is a good guy. The PW Insider guys are good guys. Don't be a douche. That's all I'm asking.
I don't doubt you. I do have a question that crossed my mind.
What?
The way you were talking about, you know, giving that extra hour to NXT on Raw and how it doesn't look like it's going to happen. How do you think they're going to handle the cruiserweights that they've been advertising?
Well, look, I think they'll have, like, one match, have a champion. It's something like that, like one match, two match. My problem with that, and I talked about it a lot yesterday, is Daniel Bryan. He is the GM. He's over there on SmackDown. You got to have him as the GM of Raw. You won't put, I know why they need the content and all that. I guess that's what it is, because time. Did I answer your question?
No, I was going to ask, do you think maybe they'll give the cruiserweights more time?
What do you mean, wrestling match time?
Yeah, on Raw.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we were just talking about that at
Mike.
But
do you think
I mean,
maybe they go as far as giving them a whole hour instead of
No. I don't think so. I mean, maybe. I doubt that highly. I misunderstood what you mean. You mean like a couple of cruiserweight matches, like time as a whole for the cruiserweight division.
The way you had an idea that the way they'd give an hour to NXT.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't think they'll do that. I mean, maybe. I think that'd be cool. I don't think they'll do that, though. I think they want you to go to the WWE Network and spend $9.99. That's what they want. So they want to hook you there. You see?
That makes sense.
Unlike the Taz show where we hook you nowhere. We are just idiots and we give everything for free. That's what we do here. We're just stupid. That's exactly it.
They called me Tasty Cakes.
It's unbelievable. I can't catch a break. So I gotta continue talking about Raw, but I wanna talk to my friend Chase from Georgia. What's up, Chase?
Hey, Taz, what's going on?
How you doing,
Captain
big?
Ahoy.
Ahoy.
What's up, baby?
Hey, first, I got to say it. I hate to do it for the first time, long time.
Up the... Gotcha! Come on! What's up, buddy?
Hey, I want to talk about a few things. I want to talk about Rob. First, do you remember a guy named Jamie from Georgia calling into the show?
Oh, man. There's so many people that call, bro. I'm sorry, I don't. Well, why? What's up?
Well, he called in about a few months ago for the first time, and he happened to mention a friend of his that got him booked onto the show.
And that was you?
And,
that was you?
Yeah, so he put me over on there, and I just want to say thank you for telling me thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you. Jamie's your friend. Thank you. Now, Chase, thank you.
Well, thank you for the awesome show. I've been listening since
No. Listen, let me interrupt you. Thank you, pal, because you're spreading the word of the show, and I want to thank you for that. Seriously.
Oh, that's right. I tell all my friends.
Hold on. Oh, Jamie's crying. Wah. I know the song. Jamie. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, buddy. Thank you. What else you want to talk about?
I just want to talk about Raw. I watched it last night. I was intrigued. It was probably the first Raw I'd seen the whole 3 hours in a long time, and I was really impressed by what happened last night.
I thought the whole show was great, dude. We were talking about it. It was a positive experience. They had one little thing that I wasn't crazy about, and I'll get into that in a little while, something with Finn Balor. But otherwise, I thought the whole thing was really, really good. I mean, I thought they had a strong outing for sure, Chase. I appreciate you calling there from Georgia, buddy. And I'll get into talking more here in a second about what I was talking about with Finn Balor. But I think Finn Balor initially, when he came out on the stage at the top of Raw and they said he's going to be one of the guys in the thing, I was like, oh, God, this is a mistake. You know, give this guy a true platform. Let's see his entrance before this. Don't just throw him on a stage with all the other wrestlers. Then I started thinking as I was watching, I'm like, you know what, this is good. Okay, they got you know, big-name push guys like Seth Rollins and stuff and Roman Reigns on that stage too and a lot of really good talent. You know, Finn Balor, you know, he needs to earn some stripes too as far as being on Raw. And so what is on the stage there? He doesn't need to be that special. I started thinking that way. But the way they shot him on that stage with all the talent around, the way it worked. And I'm like, wow. And you could just feel that this was going to work for Finn. And I'm so happy for Finn because he's such a just a good dude. And he's a guy who's earned this. And for those that want to listen to, I had him on the show, talked to him for about an hour. Maybe we can find out during the break when the episode that was or something. Or maybe one of you guys can tweet it and we'll retweet it, what date it was. For those newer fans of the Taz Show want to hear the chat that I had with Finn Balor, that'd be pretty cool. I just don't remember what episode. I don't at all.
Yeah, I remember being here for it, but I don't remember the exact date.
Yeah, why would you?
You want me to remember the exact date?
Actually, yes, I do. I want you to remember the date of everything. Yes, yes, exactly, yes. Is that exit for too much? Really, is it?
Yeah, kind of is.
Okay, at least you're honest. So, yeah, but I you know, I like the Fatal 4-Way concept. I thought the mix of Kevin Owens, Cesaro, Rusev, and Finn was a great mix. With that, I thought that for sure. But I still, during the match, I'm thinking, while the match is happening, they need a true platform and a one-on-one matchup for the mainstream audience that doesn't watch NXT to let them know who Finn is. That it kind of like he came on like gangbusters, and then next thing you know, he's selling, getting beat up, you know, in this Fatal 4-Way. You know, part of me started feeling like, well, he should have just had that platform. One-on-one, I don't know. I was on the fence. Obviously, they ended the night very strong with Finn. So, you know, that goes without saying. All right, I'm going to go to break, and I want to keep talking about Finn Balor here and tell you what I did not like and what was bad that I thought last night. Okay, and that we'll get to in a second. Right back, Tasha.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, we got Fourth Quarter City coming up right here on the Taz Show. It's Tuesday edition. It feels like Monday, but it's not Monday. It's Tuesday, you know? So, yeah, I was posed a question out there. Anybody knows the episode that Finn Balor appeared here on the Taz Show? Captain found the information out. But then the Kingsman found out at the same time. I see he tweeted it. He said that Finn Balor at WWE Balor episode was on November 23rd, 2015, for anyone interested. Thank you, the Kingsman. Captain, is he correct?
Yes, yes, he is.
Of course
he
is.
Same date I found.
So he hacked you?
No.
The truth is, you've never liked the Kingsman. Everyone knows that.
I like the Kingsman.
No, I'm joking.
When I was looking it up, I was amazed because that was the third show I'd ever done.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. So that means I was so much closer then that you weren't part of this. Wow, that just brought me down. What a buzzkill. Patrick Dorgan at General Dorgan excuse me, said, I thought the Charlotte match against Sasha was the best match on Raw. What do you think? Well, it's close. It was great. It was not good. It was great. I got really nervous. Sasha landed and supined her back on the outside. Man, I've had that happen, not on a dive, on something else in the ring, and that hurts. You can't explain that pain. It's scary. She almost broke her back. It was nasty.
There were a couple of times in that women's match that had me...
Those girls tore it up. And congratulations to Sasha Banks. That was a big moment, a gigantic moment for her. Had a feeling that was going to happen just because they want to change a lot of things up. You know, they want to go fresh start Jones here. Now, I don't know. I mean, what do you do with Charlotte now? She's got so much talent. She's young, all this stuff. You got so much money in her. What do you do with her? I know they won't do this. I kind of want to see like a Mean Girls group type thing with Charlotte run that. And they talk to Four Horsewomen, that kind of, like something in that realm without maybe, you know, hacking off of Ric Flair, the Four Horsemen. Something in that realm. I don't know. I just, something like that I think would work with her, with Charlotte. I don't know what they're going to do there. I mean, so it's Sasha is obviously going to be off to the races here, which is great for her. Let you do a little rematch gimmick with you know, Charlotte coming at her or something like that. I don't know. That was just a great match for sure. And, you know, but I do want to talk about what I mentioned about Finn Balor going into break. You know, what was it with Finn Balor that I didn't like, personally, what they did with Finn Balor? Basically, it was something so small but so important. And I bet you Dallas Donuts, no one's going to say this today, except yours truly. they did a thing backstage right before the main event with Finn and Roman Reigns, where Finn went up to Roman Reigns and said, whatever, I don't need luck, I'm Irish. And then Roman Reigns said, I'm Samoan, enough said. I have no problem with all that verbiage. That's not my problem. My problem is, really? The first time we hear Finn Balor talk, this is what he says, and he has a Swami heel attitude, and he talks backstage? Backstage. This guy can talk his ass off. And with his Irish, was it Brogue? How do you say Brogue?
Yeah, I think that's right.
It's phenomenal. And he's so passionate, his conviction on his promos. Watch his work. First time as a viewer of Finn Balor, if I'd never watched him anywhere in the world or in NXT, I hear him backstage with a smart-ass line. I'm not blaming Finn. I'm just saying what they wrote for him. It just, that to me, is it going to hurt Finn? Will people remember this? No. Am I nitpicking? Yes. But it's important. First impressions last. WWE, you went great with this guy. And then you just went a tiny step back with him in that pre-tape. Or live shot backstage. Maybe it wasn't pre-taped. I just don't think that worked. The first time I want to hear Finn talk on a WWE, on Raw or SmackDown, when he's on Raw, obviously, would be on stage or in the ring in front of the live house. That was my biggest problem with that. Do you think, Captain, that I'm nitpicking?
Yes.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
No one cares.
I don't know why you think that. So you think I'm nitpicking because you didn't think that?
I don't think it takes anything away.
I shouldn't ask you the question because you made me mad because you didn't agree with me. You're fired. Admiral Destructo, my friend, how you been?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
How's things on Strong Island over there? You good?
Always the same.
I hear you, but you sound miserable. What's going on, bud?
Nah, I just got off work. I'm all right.
I hear you. What do you want to talk about, big guy?
I thought Raw was really excellent last night. I want to give...
Yes, I agree.
Off the hooks as well, but
yeah.
I thought that was really probably the best Raw I've seen in at least a year.
You might be right, dude. I thought it was excellent. I really did. Now, you just heard on hold what I said here about Finn Balor, right? Did you hear that, Destructo?
Yeah.
Now, the captain doesn't think... He thinks I'm nitpicking. Do you think I'm nitpicking? Be honest.
I didn't see too much of it because I was getting ready for work, so I don't really know the spot that you were talking about.
Okay, gotcha.
But, I mean, from the way that you described it, I could see that being something that would stand out.
Yes. I just don't think... I think the first time we hear the guy talk, a guy we're pushing like this should be on the mic, live, maybe even after he wins, you know, and just have him say something. Yeah, hey, Seth Rollins, whatever, yada, 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 SummerSlam, boom, 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 done, right? Something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. First impression. Yeah, yeah.
I just don't, from what you explained, I don't think that was quite the segment, especially with Roman, for him to really be, like you said, saying his first words to a lot of fans that haven't seen him yet, that don't have the network.
Correct. Yep. They don't know his history from Japan or all over the world, the UK, and all his success he's had. They don't know him, some people, not everyone. And I just think the first time we hear him talk, you want to say, I don't need luck, I'm Irish. Come on, really?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, that feels like a Vince line, you know, because Vince is Irish. What are you going to do? What else is going on, bro?
I just wanted to give my off the hooks of what grinds my gears.
Yeah, what pisses you off, what burns your ass, what grinds your gears.
Well, I'm a New Yorker, so a lot of things piss me off, but I'll have to narrow it down to three.
Yes.
When there's two chatty Cathys who decide to just take up a whole aisle, and they think that the store is a proper place for them to catch up on everything going on in their life.
Yes, yes!
You need to just take your ass to a coffee shop and get out of everybody's way because people have places to go.
I agree. And I have a fourth one, by the way, Destructor. You just remind me of something. Okay, I'm gonna give a fourth grind your gears off the hook, piss off moment. All right, what else you got? What's your second?
All right, the second one. Every night when I'm on my way to work, I take my earbuds, I wrap them up all nice and neat so that I can listen to the Taz show, try to get me through the night, and I put them in my pocket, and somehow 5 minutes later, when I take them out, they look like a tangled up ball of Christmas lights.
That happens to me on my headset. I don't know why that happens either. You know, I'm going to tell you, Destructor, what I heard you have to do with that, believe it or not, you have to take peanut butter and you soak the headphones in you microwave the peanut butter with the headphones and it loosens it up.
Oh, okay.
Just try that out. Let me know how it goes.
Crunchy, though. Crunchy.
Yeah, crunchy peanut butter. He goes, oh. did you give 3 or 4, Destructo?
I gave 2.
I give 3. Sorry.
And the third one, there's no nice way to say it, but when you're in the shower, you're getting all nice and cleaned up, or you're just done with the shower, and then the feeling hits, you get that rumble in the stomach.
And you take a dump in the shower.
Not in the shower, but you got to take a dump.
Oh, I thought maybe you're in the shower, and next thing you know, you're doing number 2. That's a little disgusting. You know what? No one does that? Dogs, bears, and lions when they bathe.
I heard that Captain Tom has is also on that list.
It's all pipes!
All right, Destructo. I appreciate it, buddy.
Have a good one.
Take care, bro. He's funny. So here's my fourth thing that pisses me off.
This looks like we could have a running list the whole week.
Dude, this might go. This just might keep going. Bro, you know what really grinds my gears? What really gets my nuts twisted? My yam bag just goes in just like it takes me. Just like, like that. You know what I mean? You know what?
Yeah, no, what does? I'm waiting.
I'm going to tell. It's the buildup, bro. I got to give you the buildup. Bro, everyone's experienced this. And I understand why this happens, because you're proud. You're proud. I'm proud of this moment. I got it. And I've been there, but not to this level. What is he talking about? I'll tell you. Bro, the people that have newborn babies, you know where I'm going. And they just are in a public place, and they have to talk to their baby or their young child loud so everyone knows they're a parent that's loving. Well, no, Johnny, no, you shouldn't touch that because mommy doesn't want you to burn your hand. No, you should not touch that flame, Johnny, because it'll burn your hand. No, I know we're at a Hawaiian cookout pit. No, but you should not touch that. No, Johnny, you should not do that. Hey, ma'am, shut the F up. Your kid is 4 days old. Johnny doesn't understand what you're saying. Shut up.
No one cares.
I hate that. They talk to their kid loud. Oh, no, Becky. Oh, no. Mommy don't want that. Daddy said no. Daddy said no. The kid is 6 hours old. Stop. Just stop.
Stop.
Am I right or wrong?
No, you're totally right on that.
All right, sorry. So.
Destructo made me want to come up with a fourth one.
Oh, yeah? What was that?
When you got two people talking, but at the top of, like, a public stairway. Like, say, I'm trying to get in the subway, which goes back into the subway thing with me. But
yeah,
anyway,
there's always problems in the subway.
People blocking the staircase, just standing there talking.
Well, you got to lower the shoulder.
Yeah.
I told you, I'll teach you what you do. I do this with my eyes closed. You act like you trip, and as you trip, you run your shoulder into the back of their knee and blow their knee out. And you apologize. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I lost my footing. Some kid had ice cream, and I slipped on the vanilla. And next thing you know, I drove my shoulder into the back of your knee and blew your knee out. You had a Joe Theismann moment. I understand. That's what you do. Wrestlers master the art. That's what we do for a living. Pretending you're taking a bump, and you take someone out in the process. That's the beauty of being a pro wrestler. I could take anyone out at any time, make it look like an accident. I'm not kidding. Dude, I'll look like I hurt myself more while I put you in a hospital. And apologize to them. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Oh, yeah. It's easy. It's what you do for a living.
Jasmine just said, acting.
Acting. She's right. So, back to Raw real quick before we wrap the show up here. I the match with Finn and Roman, I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I really like Roman Reigns, his work in this match. I don't think Roman's going to get any credit because Finn is so damn good. And people would say, well, geez, it's kind of hard to have a bad match with Finn Balor. I agree. Well, it's kind of hard to have a bad match with AJ Styles. I agree. You know, back in my day in ECW, just ECW, I felt the same way about Van Damme, Sabu. It's kind of hard to have a bad match with those guys. Well, I definitely think that, you know, Finn's in that same realm. But it doesn't matter because Roman, what he did, and the way he worked, he looked motivated. He looks angry because he's got heat. Trust me, he's got heat with the office. The way they're dealing with him, by having Seth a few weeks ago expose the wellness thing, and then this guy don't get a receipt on the mic about it, meaning Roman, they're hot at him. They're disappointed in him. And he's getting bashed and buried. Stephanie's promo yesterday, it wouldn't shock me if he didn't know that was coming, Roman. And they just had her shoot on him. Because they're pissed. He's in hot water. I mean, that happens sometimes. You know what? He's a man. That's what he tweeted. When he got in trouble, he tweeted, I'll own it. No problem. I respect this kid. I never met him, and I respect him. Turn Roman heel. Let him be a heel. He looked physical as hell. And they got to be careful, WWE, with the whole size thing with Finn Balor. Because they have a history of this, you know, and it comes from Vince McMahon, with the giant, massive men. And we got to accentuate people's quote-unquote weaknesses if they're undersized. They did it with AJ Styles. They've done it with so many. They've done it with yours truly. They've done it with, and just be careful they don't go that route with Finn Balor, because I sensed it a little bit. Listen to the announcing, and you'll hear more than once how much bigger Roman Reigns is than Finn Balor. I can see how much bigger he is. This is not radio watching wrestling. I could tell that the guy's bigger. But a lot of guys that Finn Balor is competing against, he's not as big as. You do a ring introduction, main event style, with the ring announcers, and you're telling me Finn Balor's 180 pounds. And that's fine. And Finn's amazing. He shouldn't get bigger or small. He should stay the way he is, because you know what? It ain't broke, don't fix it. This kid works the way he works because of the physique he has. He's insanely athletic. He's insanely tough. That's what he's not going to get credit for, how tough he is. And I've talked about that in the past, old shows here. What makes someone tough? What makes you tough is not that you can beat somebody up, not that you can clothesline a guy and knock his teeth out, suplex a guy and knock him out, you know, punch a guy in the face and knock him out. That doesn't make you tough. That means you can fight or you can handle yourself, sure. What makes you tough is how much pain you can sustain and keep on trucking. And that's what a guy like Finn Balor has. And I would say humbly, 99% of men and women that are professional wrestlers are in that same realm. I humbly say that. I'm probably biased. But what, you know, they do on the road and what we've done, or my generation and the new generation, for years and years and no off season and all that jazz. You're not going to find an athlete anywhere, a stuntman anywhere, anybody that can do that kind of physical, demanding, you know, stuff to their bodies for 300 days a year. Nonstop, and train all the time and stay in shape and eat right. Very hard life that doesn't get enough credit. So, Finn Balor is very tough because, you know, he took some heavy bumps in that match, and we've seen him in his career take some heavy bumps.
The first, like, third of that match was just wild.
Physical. You know, it's kind of an initiation. You hear on Raw now. It's not just Raw. It's the business, you know. No matter how many years you got, it's a little bit, not maybe initiation is the wrong word. I mean, he's respected Finn. He's earned it. Initiation is the wrong word. It's like, okay, you know, you hear. I hate this line. Welcome to the big time, Finn Balor. Welcome to the major leagues, Finn Balor. You know, and that's one of the announcers, Michael Cole, somebody said it. It's That's not that. Don't blame the announcers. That's coming from a higher power. Let's just take a poop on NXT when we do that. Really? Well, let's take a poop on, like when they did it with AJ Styles, on this guy's legacy and what he's done in the business. When you tell me, welcome to the big time. Welcome to the major leagues. Welcome to the major leagues now.
Still can't get over hearing AJ Styles being called a rookie.
That was just, it's still bad. It's still bad. It's... But I told you that. I told you the whole thing with that. It's stupid. Again, this is my commentary, my independent editorial comments. Non-propaganda.
Hey, do you know Taz, by the way?
It's real. It's real. It's damn real. And speaking of damn real, where the hell was Kurt Angle last night? How do we not have Kurt Angle come out in Pittsburgh? Seriously. What are we doing, Vince? Kurt Angle, at his age and beat up, probably in better shape than the whole locker room. I'm not kidding. And in a shoot, I like his chances. So, no, I'm joking. But how do we not do something with Kurt Angle? And nevertheless, in Pittsburgh. I guess... I didn't want to go metal, but to a lesser extent, how do we not have Taz show up in Brooklyn? How do we not have Taz show up in Brooklyn? Hey, Vince, maybe we were thinking we could have Taz show up at SummerSlam in Brooklyn?
I said no!
Come on, Vince, why?
No!
But he would do really well and the pop would be insane.
No!
Vince, don't you remember at the Garden? When Taz came out and the place was unglued. Vince, you remember that?
Yeah, no.
She's counting me down.
Anyway, so that's the deal. All right, look, so tomorrow, I'm looking forward to tonight and talking tomorrow about SmackDown Live. I really am. I'm looking forward to talking. I'm looking forward to the show tonight. Are you?
Definitely. After seeing what Raw pulled off yesterday, yes. I expect SmackDown to really push it.
Yeah. I really am. I'll tell you why. I think it's going to be good. We'll see. And I think the 2 hours is going to be a lot better than three. And I thought the 3 hours, some people called the show and were saying the 3 hours flew by. Yeah, see, it did. Let's discuss that in 3 weeks. Will the 3 hours fly by? 2 hours is great. Prime real estate's 90 minutes. We don't have that. But I think it's going to be a really good show. And I'm interested to see what happens. I one last thing I want to say. What I'd like they did on Raw. I don't think they promoted anywhere. About these Fatal 4-Way matches. And this new title. And they didn't tease it, right? They didn't tease this WWE Universal Championship. They didn't do that.
No.
Before, nothing. I like that. They went a whole different route. All inclusive. All in the show of Raw. We didn't tease nothing. We didn't promote nothing. I like that. I like that they did that. It was different. And I like that. I respect it. That's when you're confident in your audience is going to be with you. That's what that is, seriously. And I think that was cool that they did that. I like that part. All right, well, that's it. So I hope you guys enjoyed this edition of the Taz Show. I had a lot of fun here, as usual. The captain, I want to thank the Mike Johnson, came on with the PW Insider Report. You know, Mike does a good job all the time. And he came on here, talked a little bit about that. Oh, by the way, before I go, the Taz Show is not trending, but Art Jones is. Yeah. Gimmick Art Jones. Stole my gimmick. That's a hack alert. All right, look, man. The podcast version of the show dropped a little while. The VOD in a little while. For the captain, I'm Taz. We'll see you tomorrow. Don't even have a top 10. Me against the world. I've been doing what I really love. Haters been hiding behind the screen. Man, they movie cuts. And when I'm back at home, it never feels the same. Cause we've been doing our own thing. Trying to stay up. I want to go back to days with no grades. We ordered the kids meal. Play ball. That's all day now. I'm stuck looking at this Instagram page.